Really good thoughts, Mike, about this week's parasha. Thank you so much. You know, I've been thinking a lot about the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, I don't know, in the past month or two. I went to a wedding party and was talking to this couple, and we were agreeing about so many things. And then the issue of homosexuality came up, and we found ourselves disagreeing very strongly. And I thought to myself, you know, well, let me ask you a question. In the story of Sodom and Gomorrah and the Lord, who are you rooting for? You. Are you rooting for the Lord, or are you rooting for Sodom and Gomorrah?
The Lord.
You better be rooting for the Lord, right? Our popular culture and many of our politicians, who do you think they're rooting for in the story of Sodom and Gomorrah and the Lord? Is it the Lord, or are they rooting for Sodom and Gomorrah? I think they're rooting for Sodom and Gomorrah. Make sure which side you're rooting for is the right side. John chapter 10. Sheep and shepherds. Israel's true spiritual leader versus the false spiritual leaders. We come into this world far from God, ignorant, confused about the most important and most basic things. It's natural for people to gravitate to those who have more knowledge or more experience than they do in various areas of human endeavor. It's absolutely crucial to choose the right leaders, especially in the most important area of human endeavor, which is seeking God. Good leaders bring blessings in this world, followed by eternal blessing in the world to come if there are a spiritual leader. Bad leaders, especially bad religious leaders, can be devastating to your life in this world and damning on the day of judgment. Really important to choose the right leaders, especially the right spiritual leaders. Is that right? John 10 continues Yeshua's interaction with some Pharisees. It's a continuation of John chapter 9, the healing of the man born blind, and the Pharisees launching into an investigation. The Pharisees were part of Israel's religious leadership. Most of these spiritual elites of the chosen people had already decided that Yeshua was a false prophet, and they wanted to kill him. And they wanted the Jewish people to follow them and their leadership, not Yeshua and his leadership. A true friend will confront you when you are wrong about something and headed in a dangerous direction. Deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. One of my favorite proverbs. For his part, Yeshua was a friend to these Pharisees. And so he warned them using illustrations taken from sheep and shepherding that they were very wrong and needed to reconsider their thinking about him and about themselves. John chapter 10, verse 1. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. This is like an illustration, a metaphor, a parable. Picture a pen with sheep in it. It's an outdoor area enclosed by a wall. It has a gate. There's a gatekeeper who guards the gate. The shepherd enters the pen by going to the gate. The gatekeeper knows him and opens the gate and allows the shepherd to enter the enclosure. The shepherd knows his sheep, and the sheep know their shepherd. When he calls to them, they follow him. This is a good shepherd. And he takes his sheep out of the pen, leading them to food and water. He leads them by going ahead of them. He does not lead them from behind, trying to drive them in front of him. Now, in contrast to the good shepherd, who is the legitimate leader of the sheep, are other men who are illegitimate shepherds. They want access to the sheep, but because they are not legitimate leaders, they don't go to the gate. They avoid the gatekeeper. Instead, they climb over the wall of the enclosure. Because they are not the legitimate leaders, the sheep are unfamiliar with them and don't follow them. In fact, the sheep do the opposite. They run away from these illegitimate shepherds. Throughout the centuries, even though we are the chosen people and blessed with many spiritual blessings and should have had the best leaders, we had many awful leaders. False prophets, rotten priests, wicked kings. The Pharisees and the other religious and political leaders who opposed Yeshua were more of the same. They were not Israel's legitimate spiritual leaders. Who is Israel's true spiritual leader in this illustration? Yeshua. He's the good shepherd. Who are the illegitimate leaders? It's the Pharisees and others who were opposing Yeshua. But as happened so frequently, the people he was speaking to didn't understand his illustration, his parable. Yeshua used this figure of speech, John tells us, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Because they didn't understand, and because it was so important for their well-being for them to understand, even though they were persecuting Yeshua and wanted to kill him, Yeshua graciously explained the meaning of this illustration to them. Therefore, Yeshua said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture, food to eat. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This command, this authority to lay down my life and to take it up again, I received from my Father. This is fantastic. This is amazing. This is profound. In his explanation of the illustration, the parable about the sheep and the shepherds, Yeshua made some amazing claims about himself. He's the gate for the sheep. That means that only those human beings who go through him can experience spiritual life and be saved. The only way that anyone can become part of God's redeemed people is by going through Yeshua. And we go through Yeshua by recognizing that he is the Messiah and the Son of God who came into this world through the incarnation, lived a perfect life, and died a sacrificial atoning death. Then he rose from the dead and is alive now, the living Lord and Savior. They know that, and then they make a commitment to Yeshua. They transfer their loyalties to him and become a committed, loyal follower. That is how you go through Yeshua as the gate. He's not only the gate, he's the Good Shepherd, the true leader of the Jewish people. What makes him our true, legitimate leader? He's recognized by the gatekeeper, God the Father. God the Father, the supreme authority, knows Yeshua and approves of Yeshua and Yeshua's leadership and gives him access to the sheep. The Father's approval of Yeshua gives him the right and the authority to be the leader of God's people. Not only is Yeshua approved by God, he is recognized by the people of God. When he says something, those who really are God's people know that what Yeshua is saying is true. It has the ring of truth to it. They know that he is who he claimed he is. They know everything he says is true and wise. The sheep recognize the shepherd and his voice. Have you ever seen a mother give her toddler to someone the child doesn't know? And the toddler gets a little concerned and then scared and begins to cry. Have you ever seen that? That happens with Logan here at Shema. Ellie and Aliza will be holding Logan, and someone else wants to hold Logan. He's so cute. And so they hand him to someone else, and that person's not part of the family, and Logan doesn't know that person, and he begins to scrunch up his little face, and then he starts crying. Just as toddlers know their parents, just as dogs know their humans and humans know their dogs, Yeshua knows his people, and his people know him. It's a kind of knowing that is deep and intuitive. It's based on a close personal relationship between Yeshua and us. That's the kind of relationship Yeshua wants to have with each one of us. What else makes Yeshua the leader of God's people? The legitimate leader, the true leader, the right leader? He's loyal. He is loyal to his followers. He does not abandon them when things become dangerous. And since we live in a fallen world that is satanically controlled and is in rebellion against God and is under a curse, it's normal for danger to come to God's people. It's to be expected. Whenever it is dangerous, Yeshua is loyal to us and will always be there, protecting us and surrounding us with his wisdom, grace, and peace. What makes Yeshua the Good Shepherd? He's not motivated by self-interest. He's motivated by the desire to serve and protect his followers, so much so that he puts the needs of his followers before his own needs. He's a giver, not a taker. He does not take from his people, he gives to them. He comes to enhance their life, to give them life, abundant life, successful life in this world in the sight of God, followed by eternal life in the world to come. He's so much of a giver and not a taker that he's willing to suffer for his people, even sacrifice his life for his people. There are many reasons why God the Father loves his Son. One of the reasons is because of Yeshua's willingness to sacrifice himself in order to redeem fallen human beings where we need help the most. There's something that God has placed within us that admires those who are willing to suffer for a good cause. The Father feels the same way about his Son. He appreciates Messiah's willingness to sacrifice himself for a good cause, to redeem those who are in rebellion against God. And God the Father loves his Son for that. What makes Yeshua the legitimate leader of God's people? His resurrection from the dead. Yeshua knew that he needed to die to reconcile us to God, and he knew that he would not remain dead. He was willing to lay down his life for us. And he knew that death could not hold him. Death could not keep him under death's control, because it is sin that gives death authority over us, and Yeshua knew that he was without sin. Yeshua knew that no human being had the authority to kill him, to take his life from him. He had authority over his own life and over his own death, It was only his willingness to sacrifice himself as a perfect offering to atone for all of our sins that made his death possible. While it's true that corrupt Jewish and Roman leaders arrested Yeshua, gave him unfair trials, beat and tortured him, and then crucified him, that's only part of the story. The other part of the story is that these evil leaders were only able to kill Yeshua because he gave permission for that to happen. He allowed that to happen. He could have prevented that from happening. And just as he had the authority to allow himself to be killed, Yeshua tells us that he has the authority to come back to life. He's predicting his resurrection. Yeshua's resurrection proves he is the true leader of Israel and all of the other nations of the world. None of the Pharisees who ever lived, none of the other leaders of Israel, good or bad, none of the leaders of any other religion or ideology from any other nation ever rose from the dead like Yeshua did. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Buddha, Confucius, Muhammad are still in their tombs. You've heard me say this before. Darwin is dead and he is not evolving. The other ideological thought leaders who have influenced our world so much, Marx, Lenin, Freud, Einstein, are dead and buried. Of all the great leaders of the world's religions and ideologies, only Yeshua has died and then overcome death and rose again. Can I hear an amen or a hallelujah or something? Yeshua's resurrection is God's seal of approval on everything Yeshua did, everything Yeshua said. Yeshua's resurrection is God's declaration to the world that Messiah is perfect, flawless, blameless, sinless. He only and always spoke the truth. He never lied, since God would not allow a sinner or a liar or a false prophet or a false Messiah to be resurrected from the dead. Yeshua's resurrection validates his claims about himself. He claimed to be the Messiah. He claimed to be the Son of God. He claimed to be the Lord. Yeshua's resurrection is God's declaration that Yeshua is the Messiah, he is the Lord, he is the Son of God, he is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the one and only Savior of the world.
Amen.
Yeshua's resurrection means that all of his words are true, each and every one of them. Heaven and earth will pass away, Yeshua said, but my words will never pass away. Our lives are safe, secure, blessed. Our lives will outlast the universe if they are built on Yeshua's teachings. Yeshua's resurrection guarantees our resurrection. When he rose from the dead, he defeated Satan and the demons. He conquered sin. He defeated death. And if we confess with our mouth that Yeshua is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved and we will be resurrected and we will live forever. We come into this world far from God. We come into this world with a sinful, fallen nature. We need to be transformed. We must rise to a new life that is pure and holy and dedicated to God. We must get a new nature that is devoted to God and is able to please God. We must be born again. We must receive the Holy Spirit of God. Only Yeshua's resurrection makes these things possible. Yeshua's resurrection proves he is the God-ordained, true, and legitimate leader of Israel and the nations of the world. In contrast to Yeshua, the Good Shepherd, the legitimate leader, are the illegitimate leaders. What characterizes them? They are not known by the gatekeeper, because God has not authorized them to be leaders or given them legitimate spiritual authority. They avoid the gatekeeper, avoid the gate, and climb over the wall. They create their own ways of getting influence among people, primarily through false religious and ideological teachings. Let me repeat this. It's really important. Because God has not authorized them to be leaders or given them legitimate spiritual authority, they climb over the wall, which means they create their own ways of getting influence among people, primarily through false religious and ideological teachings. And people fall for it. They are motivated by self-interest. They care more about themselves than the people they lead. Because they care more about themselves than those they lead, they are takers, not givers. They're more like hired hands who need to be paid. They're more like thieves and robbers. Because they care more about themselves than the people they lead, they're not loyal. They may abandon their followers when it becomes dangerous and they are needed the most. Yeshua was the true spiritual leader of Israel, and he knew who the true followers of God were in his generation and who were not. And the faithful remnant knew who their real leader was, and they knew those who were not. The reason why more and more Jewish people were rejecting the Pharisees and following Yeshua was because they knew deep down that Yeshua was their real, true leader. Just as Yeshua knew God and was close to his Father, there is a sense of closeness, connectedness, a sense of intimate personal relationship and sharing between Yeshua and his followers. I hope you feel that. I hope you sense that. What makes Yeshua the true spiritual leader of Israel? His vision. A good leader is visionary. He casts vision. Yeshua understood that something that none of the other leaders of Israel knew. He knew that it was too small a thing for him to be only the leader of the faithful remnant of the chosen people. He knew that God had a far greater plan for him. He understood that he had other sheep that were not of the Jewish sheep pen. Who are these people? They included Messianic Jews of future generations and the faithful remnant from the other nations. Yeshua knew that he would become their leader too and bring them into his community. Not directly, he would not be present on earth, but through the ministry of his faithful disciples. So peoples of the nations and peoples of the future will hear Yeshua's voice speaking to them through his disciples, whether it's written or oral. And they too will follow Yeshua, and there will be one great community of salvation, one flock with one shepherd. Yeshua had a vision of one new man, a new united humanity made up of Jews and Gentiles under the leadership of the Son of God. That was Yeshua's great vision. That's part of what made him the true leader. Yeshua's illustration and explanation of the sheep and the shepherds was coherent. It was profound. There was the ring of truth to it. And his criticism of the leaders who opposed him and his claims about himself followed a singular miracle, the healing of the man who was born blind. But in spite of Yeshua's powerful statements, accompanied by the great miracle of the healing of the man who was born blind, most of the leaders who were there continued to reject Yeshua. Most, but some weren't so sure that they should continue rejecting him. The Jewish leaders who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" These Jewish leaders were divided. You know, the world is still divided about Yeshua. It's now 2,000 years since he arrived, and Yeshua now has more followers than ever. Many of those other sheep have become part of Yeshua's new united humanity. But the majority of the Jewish people and the majority of the people of the nations continue to reject Yeshua. In spite of his tens of millions of followers and the tremendous impact Yeshua has made on the world, changing the course of world history. So, there's still a division about Yeshua. My question to you this morning is, which side of the division are you on? Who do you say Yeshua is? A false prophet? Someone who is demon-possessed, evil, and raving mad? Just a man whom you can ignore, go about your business, as if his arrival means nothing? Or do you say that you sense he's a true prophet, the ultimate leader of Israel and the nations, the Son of God who came into this world, lived a perfect life, died, and came back to life, overcoming death to give us abundant and eternal life? Who do you say Yeshua is? Which side of the divide are you standing on? You better make sure you're standing on the right side of the divide.